This is Morgan Michael, welcoming you to Kindsight 101, the podcast, where you'll hear from world-renowned educational leaders about the mobilizing power of kindness, together by challenging our assumptions and venturing beyond the status quo in education. We can make a big impact, one small act at a time.
I suppose that the first thing we really need to be doing before we even talk about strategies and platforms and how to build rich learning is just to continue that thread of relationship that we have nurtured in our classrooms with our kids, just in a different platform, in a different format.
Trevor McKenzie is the author of Dive into Inquiry and Inquiry Mindset. He's also an award-winning English teacher, instructional coach focusing on inquiry and technology, and he happens to teach in Victoria, BC, the same district that I teach in. By increasing student agency over learning, weaving in strong pedagogy, transformative tech use, and sharing learning to a public audience, Trevor's learners are ready to take on important roles in the 21st century. Today, we talk a little bit about creating a sense of normalcy in this COVID-19 pandemic. We discuss the importance of educators taking care of themselves first, their families, before they take on the educator role for their students in the classroom. We talk about an approach to inquiry within our planning in such a way that we can tap into students' curiosities and passions throughout this time of remote or distance learning. He highlights some of the important points that we need to take into account as we're doing planning, as well as using planning as a mechanism for creating certainty for ourselves as teachers, but releasing that planning and the assignments in such a way that it doesn't overwhelm our students. You're going to love this conversation because if you're like me right now, you are scrambling to create a plan for your students and your learners in your classroom, but trying to do so through this online remote platform. Trevor McKenzie, I just want to welcome you to Kindsight 101 once again. I'm so excited to dive into inquiry with you on the within the online distance learning platform as a result of this whole COVID-19 pandemic. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. As always, it's a privilege and I look forward to our chat.
Yeah, so this is we were just talking before we jumped on air here and we were discussing the fact that this new online education system platform, whatever you want to call it, the distance learning, is new for a lot of us, educators, parents alike, and also for the students that we serve. And before we dive into some tactical strategies and approaches, I want to talk a little bit about how do we honor perhaps emotionally where everyone's at and how do we differentiate this from what online learning might look like under normal circumstances?
Yeah, you know, it's a really big challenge, isn't it? These are circumstances, this is a reality that none of us could have anticipated and none of us have experienced before. And I'm hearing a lot of teachers talk about normalcy and seeking normalcy. And I just think it's a huge challenge because this is not the normal. You know, what we're trying to do is bridge the gap between the experience that our students were having in class, face-to-face, that community of learners that all of us have fostered and nurtured throughout our time together with our students, to what's happening at home. And the reality is that that's a very, very broad gap, isn't it? And mainly because not just the distance, not just because of the remote learning, but mainly because a lot of our kids are in trauma. They are having big feelings that they haven't encountered before. They're not seeing their friends. And for many of our students, the sad reality is that school is an escape from home. School is a safe space to get away from something perhaps turbulent that's happening at home. And so for us to seek out a sense of normalcy, I don't think it's realistic. I think we really need to check in with our students, don't we? We really need to have these, you know, meaningful conversations, asking them how they're doing, and just be that longstanding kind of pillar of solidarity that we've been in their lives since they've been in our classroom. So I suppose that the first thing we really need to be doing before we even talk about strategies and platforms and how to build rich learning is just to continue that thread of relationship that we have nurtured in our classrooms with our kids, just in a different platform, in a different format.
Awesome. I love that. And I mean, as we do reach out to our students, I want to talk a little bit about that platform aspect, because there's the asynchronous learning, which could be, you know, you create a slide deck or you create a hyperdoc or you create some kind of an artifact or provocation and students work through that at their own pace. And perhaps there's some kind of, you know, a series of questions or some kind of a reflection piece or some kind of an output that we might be asking of them. But then there's also this part about the relationship between educators, students, the students in and amongst themselves, and how important that social learning piece is. So I almost identify like two different aspects to the learning. And how are you seeing people approach the student-to-student, educator-to-student relationship online? Like, what are some platforms that people are using or some formats that you're seeing that are effective in terms of that?
I'm seeing a lot, you know, thank goodness for a broad, diverse PLN, right, where we can connect with educators from around the world and see what they're doing, see what they're tinkering with, and see what's working and what's not. I'm seeing a lot of educators use Zoom as an online space. Zoom's great, you know, not just for the one-on-one chats that we can have and should be having with our learners and maybe with their parents as well, but also there's a great feature to create little breakout rooms where you could be the facilitator, the organizer of these breakout rooms, and then have students in little clusters, go and collaborate in these separate online spaces. And then you could drop in and check in on them and facilitate. And you could oversee everything, of course. There are settings and parameters that you can create to really create that, help nurture that strong collaboration. So I'm a big fan of Zoom. I think, as always, you know, we need to know the platform, we need to know the settings, and we need to tinker with the settings to ensure that it's supporting our learners. I'm seeing a lot being done with Flipgrid. I think Flipgrid's doing an excellent job communicating with teachers on how to best leverage their platform. And that would be a space that doesn't allow you to have that rich live one-on-one connection, but definitely that asynchronous dropping in, leaving a recording, being able to respond and reply and continue the conversation across time. And then I'm loving what I'm seeing just in Google Classroom. You know, so many of our colleagues are using Google Classroom already in the classroom setting, and students are just really familiar with the platform. They understand how to navigate the different options, the different pages, the different settings. And so in terms of creating a sense of routine and normalcy, that would be one that I think many students are quite accustomed to. And I see teachers around the world leveraging that because they're already using it in their classroom. So those would be three. And I think underlying all of that is exactly what you referenced. You know, how are we using these platforms to meet the needs of our learners, whether it's one-on-one or in small groups where we're getting together and we're having that rich social interaction, that collaboration that we foster in the face-to-face, but also that asynchronous where we drop an artifact, whatever that artifact is, and students can watch that during their own time and at their own pace so they could pause, reflect, get going on tinkering and learning, and then come back to that artifact to continue through it. So, you know, the platform, to be honest, we should be agile and quite fluid in how we're choosing or why we're choosing the platform, but underlying which platform we end up picking, it of course is meeting the needs of our learners and what our goals are for our students in this remote learning realm.
Great answer. So when it comes to doing some of this planning, let's say more of the asynchronous, like the provocations and some of the unit planning, or perhaps touching on some of the outcomes, what are some things that you think teachers should keep in mind as they set forth in doing that planning?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. You know, I don't think there's ever a good time for a pandemic. And I say that kind of, you know, at this point in North America, at least, and I know across the world, you do have a global audience, and across the world, we all have start times and end times to our school year with students. But in North America, you know, by this point in the school year, we've really gotten to know our learners quite well. We know their interests, we know their curiosities, we know what their passions are. And, you know, I see it at home with my two sons. I have a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old, and without being prompted, they've been learning this entire time away from their friends and their peers and their teachers. They're doing things that are aligned with literacy and numeracy goals that they explore in their classroom, but through the lens of something highly, highly relevant to them. You know, my youngest is big into basketball. He's big into the NBA. And he's slowly creating an NBA encyclopedia of players. And he's going team by team, He's looking at their statistics. He's doing some research, and he's creating this little artifact, you know. And my eldest is doing something that's aligned with his passion, which is right now it's classical music. And he's researching some of his favorite musicians, and he's recording his piano playing in his bedroom to some of these pieces of music. And he's going to create a Google slide deck as his artifact that is going to combine his research with his performance. And so, you know, going back to your initial question, I think teachers could really, because we know our kids so well by this time of the year, we could provide broad challenges or prompts or provocations that allow students to find that highly personally relevant space to meet the demands of the challenge, whatever the prompt is, you know. And as you can see, both of my sons are exploring something that they're highly interested in, highly passionate about, and it's dripping in our curriculum. You know, both of them are meeting the standards, and if I may say so, exceeding the standards of what they would be doing in the classroom setting. And so I think, you know, whatever teachers are planning from you know, their classroom setting, it shouldn't just be business as usual. It shouldn't just be, you know, what in my curriculum haven't we covered yet? It should be really, you know, where can I free my students up now to explore something through their home life, through the lens of what they have before them at home, to look at these as some of our curricular standards, and how can we weave the two together? I think it's an amazing opportunity for teachers to rethink how we can weave in student interests and curiosities and passions into our curriculum, if you will.
Love that. And okay, so would you play with me a little bit here? So would you take us through what it might look like to apply the inquiry framework to one of these broad approaches? Like, how might an elementary school teacher do that? What would be some questions or some steps that they could use as handles to sort of work their way through that, especially if they've never done that kind of learning before or teaching?
Yeah, you know, I think modeling it and coaching it and showing one of your own passions for your students, because of course, teachers have more time to be at home and doing something that we love. For me right now, I'm reading some amazing books, and I never have the time to sit and read kind of uninterrupted for longer than 10 minutes. And so what I would do with my senior level students is I would do a little bit of a book tasting. You know, I would show them some of the books I'm reading and share with them my love for what it is that I'm doing, sadly, in my time away from them. And we can be doing that K to 12, can't we? Is bring students in and show them through an artifact, whether it's a little, you know, video that we create or a little asynchronous artifact that we can create for our students, something that we're exploring or doing and sharing our love for what it is that we're doing in our time for our students. And then we could ask them, well, what are you doing with your time? What's something that you're really curious about? And what's something you're reading or listening to or exploring at home? And I'd like you to tell me about that in a few sentences or a few words or a few paragraphs, depending on the grade level, of course. It could be a Flipgrid recording where our littles and a parent sit down and they create a little bit of a recording as to what they've been doing that's, you know, obviously heightening their curiosity at home. But I'd start from that place of modeling it first and creating that little artifact. And then from there, once you see these reflections and responses from your students, you begin to tailor the offering to the masses, if you will. So as you see certain students come together with certain interests, that's where you begin to plan a little bit more deeply and a little bit more specifically as to what the outcomes could be. And I know that's not a clean, you know, refined answer, but that's how I plan my units. I don't plan my units of study until I get to know my kids and what their interests and curiosities are. And since we don't know what they've been doing these days and weeks that they've been away from us, let's start from that space. Have that conversation around, what have you been reading? What have you been listening to? What are you really curious about right now? And how could we leverage that and have that be some of your learning from home as we're not together right now? So I'd start with modeling and coaching, letting them into your world and what you've been doing, and then asking them to reflect on that artifact and then share something, a little bit of a show and share, if you will, as to what it is that they've been doing at home, and then plan accordingly from there.
Oh, I really like that a lot. And I think there's a lot of potential for students. I think we often talk about being the expert or sharing their passions. And that word passion is really tricky for kids to unpack sometimes, and adults actually. And I like that idea of starting with the curiosity and how important that is for leading you to your passion, right? And I think there could be some really cool even tutorials that could come out of that, and having the students be able to teach one another different skills or maybe some knowledge that they've learned or just a different approach to, I don't know, origami or whatever it is, right? I think that there could be some really interesting ways of extending the learning organically that way. And I really appreciate that structure, because I think it's not necessarily the way that we all are used to doing it, even though we know it's a really effective tool. What a great, like, if we were to flip the situation on its head and think, what are the opportunities right now? That actually creates the opportunity for us to play with a different way of teaching. And that's the positive in this.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the most searched phrases on YouTube is how to, right? Like how to, and then dot, 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 whatever it is. And I would encourage teachers to consider challenging your kids to create a how-to video of whatever it is that they've been doing at home, whether it's how to, you know, complete a puzzle, or how to create a tower of blocks, or how to, you know, plant a raspberry bush and weed your garden, or how to, you know, organize your hockey card collection, right? And through that lens of how to, of course, students are going to choose something that is highly personally relevant, something that they're really, really curious about or really, really into. And there are so many amazing how-to videos that we can curate for our students to see examples of. And I love those. When you show your students an example of a young person and what they're passionate about and what they're really into, that energy, that curiosity, it's infectious, isn't it? You know, when students see that, they really get going and they want to share their own curiosity and excitement for learning. So I do think it's a great opportunity for us to reimagine how we interact with students and create genuine agency over learning and through the lens of their home life. You know, what is happening at home that they're curious about or interested in, and really rethinking how we can support them in exploring that more meaningfully.
That's amazing. Before I give you a chance to sort of just wrap up your main thoughts there, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that some teachers may be feeling overwhelmed with that wide open space. Some of us are very linear thinkers. And so what do you say to them? What is some advice that might alleviate some of the pressure that they might be putting on themselves right now?
Yeah, you know, I feel the same pressure. And so, you know, I'm definitely compassionate. And I think that naturally, we, you know, part of what I try to do in facing these challenges that we're facing right now is I overplan. You know, I feel so secure and comfortable when I overplan. And what I've learned is not to give my overplanning to my students, you know, not to give them everything I've planned in one shot and giving them the whole kind of, you know, smorgasbord of everything that I'm thinking we could possibly do. I've learned that overplanning makes me feel really good, but it really makes my students quite anxious. And so what I've learned is that I really need to kind of parcel it out. Whatever my plan is, really give it to them in small chunks, realistic, you know, chunks that they can digest and really grapple with and mold and kind of play with. And that makes them feel quite confident and secure in themselves in this really different environment that we are navigating together. And so I think, you know, right away, what I tried to do in this space between me and my students is, well, let's just get the planning done. I'll create the next 2 months of learning. I'll give it all to them, and so they can see the whole picture. And I think that's just really overwhelming for students. And so I'd encourage listeners to, you know, if you're planning, you know, for 2 months of learning, and I've seen this tweeted out by some amazing educators around the world, so these aren't my thoughts, but and I can't reference who, so forgive me. You know, if you're planning for 2 months of learning, you know, realistically, you know, cut it in half and then cut it in half again. And that's probably where your students are at with regards to how different a landscape this is for them and what is really manageable for them and where they are socially, emotionally. You know, we can't throw a bunch at them right now. We really need to check in with them, see where they're at, see how they're feeling, and then give them small morsels, really tasty, you know, morsels that are going to really grip their interest and their curiosity that they could work through over the course of the coming days and weeks together.
Oh, that's so good. I love that idea that the over planning actually makes the teacher feel secure, but it adds anxiety to the student. That's so smart. And I've never really heard it said that way, but it makes so much sense. Before I let you go, is there anything that you'd like to add or touch on before we hang up?
You know, I just encourage teachers to not be too hard on themselves, right? Like I'm at home, I'm a father of two, as I referenced, and my first priority at home, it's my kids, and I'm receiving, you know, resources, really rich instructions and directions from their teachers. And so I'm a homeschool father first, right? Feeding my kids, making sure that they're getting through and exploring what it is that their teachers have in store for them. And then comes my lesson planning and my unit planning for my students. And so I encourage, you know, teachers listening, you know, don't be too hard on yourselves. You know, take your time, work through this, lean on your community, reach out to other educators, see how they're navigating this online space. And it is a process, isn't it? You know, this isn't something that's going to resolve itself over the course of the next few days or weeks. It's going to take time. And I think if we're all easier on ourselves through this process, I think it's going to have a dramatic impact on our students. I think if we are comfortable and we are, you know, easier on ourselves, I think our students will be more comfortable and our students would be easier on themselves. So I'd encourage teachers just to try to take it easy.
Oh, great message. Thank you so much, Trevor. Trevor McKenzie, where can people find you online and otherwise?
Thank you. So my website, trevormckenzie.com, great landing page full of free resources and podcasts and webinars. So check that out on Twitter at Trev_McKenzie and Instagram at TNTMcKenzie. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for all the nuggets and the tidbits and basically the approaches that we can take to make it through this thing. So thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for the wonderful reviews that you've left for this podcast on iTunes. Your reviews make a big difference in helping other educators find this show. If you think that I'm doing good work here and you'd like others to get inspired and join our 21-day kindness challenge and movement, I'd love it if you would take a minute, head over to iTunes, and leave a review. Thank you so much. This has been another episode of Kindsight 101, the podcast. For links to resources mentioned in this episode, visit smallactbigimpact.com and click on our podcast and choose this episode number. Now, I'd love to give my audience a heads up about my new book, which will provide ideas, actionable strategies, and inquiry-based approaches to creating kinder classroom through serving the community. Subscribe to my blog for more information. Now, I would love to hear from you. What's the biggest insight that you gain from this conversation? Head over to our website, smallactbigimpact.com, leave a comment on our podcast page, or tag and connect with us on social media with the hashtag #SmallActBigImpact to share your inspiring story of kindness. Can't wait to hear from you.